You're listening to WNYO Sports Hour with your hosts, Aaron Valentino and Brandon Lapp.
And welcome into this Monday edition of Sports Hour. Actually, Brandon Ladd and Joey Palatsky here with you today here on 88.9 WMYO, the Laker Radio Network. Brian is shadowing with us today. Brian, give me a wave.
Hello.
Brian gave me a wave there. Joey, how are you doing?
Great. We got a lot of stuff to hit today between the Yankees, the Giants, the Jets, Bills. There's plenty to talk about today, Ladd. You want to start with the Yankees here? Big weekend sweep for our boys.
We do have a lot to get into. Giants and Jets disappoint. Bills get the job done. But we will start with the Yankees as our opening topic here. Yankees last night, my goodness, they get the sweep against the Red Sox. Last night, holy cow, was it entertainment. Really started in the seventh inning. It seemed like it was going to be a normal game. Seventh inning, the Red Sox get their fireworks. And then the eighth inning, the Yankees take over before Chapman shuts it down. Joey, take us through that eighth inning.
Oh, I mean, it was four mental errors in the bottom of the seventh between Boone, first off, pulling Clay Holmes. I still don't understand that move there. And then you have DJ and Gallo dropping fly balls. You got Tyler Wade forgetting how to run the bases and sliding. He said after the game he thought it was a foul ball. I'm not sure if one of those Red Sox middle infielders just caught him off guard or if he thought he heard something or whatever it was. But it was four mental errors in about 20 minutes. It seemed like the Yankees were down 3-2 going into the eighth. It seemed like it was one of those points where they would start to lose hope, but somehow kept the momentum rolling even after Tyler Wade gets thrown out. Rizzo with the double to start it. And, I mean, that's really how great of a pickup that was at the trade deadline. He starts that rally. Then Judge gets the double. Giancarlo hits the two-run shot, and Yankees get out of Boston with the sweep. The brooms come out. And what a weekend it was for the New York Yankees.
Now, the brooms do come out, and that eighth inning is definitely something we want to run through because let's take it to first base first, Bobby Dalbec. So we can get over the Tyler Wade error. It doesn't end up mental error. It doesn't end up actually affecting what happens in the eighth inning. But it all starts with Bobby Dalbec. Aaron Judge is up at the plate and two runners on. And he suddenly just hits a pop fly, and it seems like the at-bat's going to be over. Dalbec does not know where the wall is in his home stadium.
He's not a first baseman by trait.
No, but
you could tell that. Yes. I grew up playing first base. Every first baseman knows you sprint to the fence, you find it, and then you come back and find the ball. And he was just, he didn't know where he was. You could tell he was kind of feeling for it. He thought he was closer to the fence than he was, and he just didn't. He had no idea where he was. Got to find the fence. They teach you that day one of playing first base and showed last night. But, I mean, that didn't even seem to be the main conspiracy there with that Judge at bat. It was overshadowed by the drop third strike, if you want to call it, whether it was dropped on the transition or not. I live by ball doesn't lie.
No.
So I think he just didn't quite squeeze it all the way to the mitt.
And I don't know if there would be anything to challenge there for Alex Cora, but still, it's hard to prove if that was on transition, if that was him bringing two hands to the mitt. That's still trying to make a catch. But he drops it in the left-hand batter's box, and it gives Judge another opportunity with runners on second and third. My goodness, did he take advantage of it. Just hits a rope to center field.
You want to talk about Alex Cora, though. Did you hear at the start of the broadcast, I think it was Matt Vaskirjan said that that Alex Cora was telling the Red Sox, you just approach it like another Sunday game. He said, it's nothing special. We just play. Guys are in the locker room before doing their thing, watching football, playing fantasy, whatever. And I'm sitting there thinking, this is such a great sign for the Yankees because Cora and the Red Sox are trying to take it lackadaisical and just be like, another baseball game. We've been doing this for about 150 games at this point. We got this in the bag. The Yankees are living for this big moment.
Yes.
And for Boone to acknowledge the fact that it is such a big game, for the Yankees to step up to the plate and get the job done, it's huge for the Yankees and maybe a little bit of a red flag on Alex Cora there, just trying to live the moment down, get the guys fired up. It's such a big game, historic rivalry, playoff intentions on the line, and the fact the Red Sox didn't show up for it and even their manager wasn't getting them motivated for it is unbelievable. But the Yankees, that's such a great sign. It felt like an October game between Rizzo, Judge, and Giancarlo all getting those big hits. Great sign for the Yankees heading into this last week and hopefully into October.
No, it's an absolutely great sign for the Yankees. And Judge puts them up 4-3 with the just missile to the center field wall. And then Stanton on cue Takes a couple sliders, and the next thing you know, Ottavino just hangs him a slider, and Stanton put it out of the park, literally.
Yeah, I don't know if you how closely you saw the Judge and Giancarlo pitches. They were right down the middle.
Yes.
I mean, I think it was Judge saw the fastball down the middle, yes. And Giancarlo saw the slider, but both of them were middle. And I said after Rizzo's double with when Ottavino comes in, I said, you got Judge and Giancarlo coming up. You better not hang either of these guys a slider if you want to get out of this frame. Hang Giancarlo a slider. The ball's still going up when it clears the green monster. It was coming. It hits its apex somewhere above the seats on the green monster, and that ball got out of there so fast. And there's not a lot of guys. I mean, he's probably the only guy on earth that can do that. It hits a line drive that's still rising up, and he did it at the stadium a couple weeks ago too. I don't know. I forget exactly who the Yanks were playing, but Giancarlo hit a line drive, and it got below the deck of the second deck.
Yeah.
And it got to the concourse.
Yes.
No one hits baseballs that hard and that on a line.
No.
Besides Giancarlo,
it was on a line, and next thing you know, it was on the street. It got over everything by the time it got back down, as you were saying. And what a weekend for him. 3 home runs, 10 RBIs, the best player on the planet when he wants to be. Well, I won't say when he wants to be. When he's on and he's on a hot streak, he's the most dangerous hitter there is in the league.
Right, but I mean, that goes for the Yankees. When they're on, they're on. When they're off, they're off. It's such a ups and downs kind of team. We've known that all season, but they're peaking at the exact right time here, like, yes. Whether it be the defensive adjustments, moving Gleyber, Gio, and DJ on the infield. And even, I mean, we're not even seeing Luke Voit in this lineup. Keep that in mind. He's one of the best hitters on the baseball team. But this team has been so ups and downs all year long. They're peaking at the exact right time. I was saying coming into this Red Sox, Blue Jays, and Rays stretch, that I'm not scared of, you know, however that Baltimore series went, however that Minnesota series went. This team's so ups and downs. As long as they're on an up at the end of the season, no one's going to beat this baseball team.
And the Yankees take advantage of Toronto losing. They split with Minnesota, so 2-2 in that series. Blue Jays last 10, they're cooling down a bit. 5-5, Yankees have taken advantage of this with their 7-3 stretch. Yankees have won 6 in a row. So now they got a 2-game lead in the wild card on the Blue Jays. They got a 1-game lead on the Red Sox. But it does not stop here. They got a very important series with the Blue Jays starting tomorrow.
Yeah, real quick on this final thought here on this Yankees-Red Sox game in that eighth inning. After Rizzo doubles, it's, you know, the Yankees were striking. It was second and third with one out. And I was kind of thinking it should be bases loaded, no, or one run in, tied game with no outs. But, you know, it is what it is with Tyler Wade getting confused, whatever. So after Rizzo doubles and Aaron Judge is at the plate, when he foul tips that ball, and originally he was called out when Joe West said Christian Vasquez caught that ball, we actually saw a mouse in our house last night.
Really?
Right. So they called strike 3.
Yeah.
The mouse runs across our floor. We all kind of pop up, and we were all a little frazzled at it.
Yeah.
I you know, a couple of my housemates are focused on the mouse and where he went and whatever. And I'm sitting there still watching the game. And they come back after the mouse, and like, I thought Judge struck out. Like, how's he on base right now? And I was like, oh, you know, I explained the whole situation, yeah. Whatever. The mouse runs across our floor. Judge double, or somehow, some way, he's
yes.
given a new life after the drop 3. Double, home run, good luck, Mouse is in 185 right now.
So he's going to stay for a bit.
I mean, some of the guys want him out. I say just, you know, we gotta feed him. They're putting traps down. I said, this is a good luck Mouse, right? This is the rally Mouse. What are we doing?
This is the rally Mouse. That is a great way to put it. Now I'm a bit scared. I sat on your floor Saturday night.
It's the first time we've seen one. I mean, okay. it is a college house.
Yes.
Keep that in mind. You know, we're going to seal the walls off. We might just try to, you know, feed him, give him some steroids, and maybe just turn him into a super mouse. We'll see what happens.
Rally Mouse might become a super mouse. We're going to take a break here on Sports Hour. When we get back, though, we're going to talk Giants or Jets. Who was more disappointing this Sunday? They both disappointed. Who disappointed us more? You're listening to Sports Hour on 88.9 WMYO, the Laker Radio Network. Spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely leave from. And welcome back to Sports Hour on 88.9 WMYO, the Laker Radio Network. Brandon Ladd with Joey Palatsky today for Sports Hour. Aaron feeling a bit under the weather, hoping to get him back tomorrow. But Joey, talking about teams that are under the weather, and I love when transitions come to me like that. They come so naturally. But Jets and Giants, we just came back to Empire State of Mind. They have an East Rutherford state of mind right now. They do not have a Empire State of Mind at the moment because both teams struggled. And we'll start with the Giants, who lost at the buzzer. It was the equivalent of losing as time goes to zero. Atlanta hits the game-winning field goal. They lose 17-14 in a game they should have won.
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough game out there for the Giants yesterday, and Saquon Barkley is still struggling. 16 carries for 51 yards. He's through 3 weeks now, still looking to get him going. Don't win a whole lot of football games scoring 14 points. The Giants' defense definitely showed up yesterday, holding the Falcons to 17 points, and the defense looked pretty solid. But I mean, the offense, you're not going to do a lot with 14 points when your starting quarterback especially doesn't score a touchdown. I mean, you saw that in the even in the Buccaneers game yesterday. Tom Brady went over 400 yards. I think he only had one touchdown, took the loss. If your starting quarterback's going zero or one touchdowns, you're probably not winning a whole lot of football games.
No, you're not going to win a lot of football games. Daniel Jones, very middle of the pack yesterday with the 53.8 QBR. We know 50 is average, 100 is excellent. In between, you like to see your quarterbacks 70 to 80. But you're right, they never found their run game. Saquon again sputters, 3.2 yards per carry, does get a touchdown. His longest run of the day, this is what I always look with Saquon, 15 yards. He did pop one off in week two. So it's Saquon, it's the Giants' offensive line. They have their struggles, they have their issues, and this is honestly a game, though, they should have won because Atlanta, what's the only thing they're feared for? Their offense, when Matt Ryan gets going, it's very efficient. He can move the ball and get a ton of yards. We know their defense is not very good, and you lose a game 17-14. I get if Atlanta beat you in a shootout, but still, it's kind of a slap in the face just to get 14.
It was on Eli Manning Day, nonetheless. Yes. You got Eli Manning there. David Tyree's in the building. A big crowd there for Eli's Ring of Honor Day and put up 14 on the Atlanta Falcons. I'm looking here at Daniel Jones compared to Matt Ryan. Their stat lines are pretty identical. Matt Ryan went 27 completions on 36 attempts for 243 yards, while the New York quarterback goes 24 completions for 35 attempts on 266 yards. So Daniel Jones, about 20 more yards, but Matt Ryan gets two touchdowns. Daniel Jones doesn't get a single one and got to put the ball in the end zone. The Giants just couldn't find their way in yesterday. And it wasn't a great day for the New York Giants, now down to 0-3. And between the Broncos, the football team, the Falcons, besides the Broncos game, they've really been, you know, that's the second straight week now that the Giants have been walked off by a field goal, last by Washington, now with Atlanta. And New York Giants just really got to turn it around here. And 0-3 is not the start. And since the boat picture, they still have the worst record in the NFL.
Exactly. And if you look at it here, me and Aaron talk about this every single week, and we always say, who's going to get the first win, Giants or Jets? I thought it would be this week for the Giants. It seemed like a done deal. It was going to happen. They don't take advantage of it. It gets harder. They go at New Orleans next week, at Dallas, and then versus the Rams on the 17th. And then they got Panthers, Chiefs, Raiders. This could be a team that starts the year 0-8, 0-9. It's very possible. They're going to have to pull off an upset if they're going to get it done now. And not that the Saints and Cowboys will be heavy favorites, but still, it's a road game. And the most worrisome thing, you want to win games, I guess. The famous Jim Mora rant is playoffs. I just hope we win a game. That's where the Giants are at right now. But to talk about playoffs, Cowboys or Eagles are going to win tonight. Maybe they tie. I mean, I guess I'll not wake up on Tuesday if they tie. But they're going to be two games out going into week four. It's hard to make that up. And this was a division that the Giants honestly could have been a part of.
I'm with you. Coming into this year, it definitely seemed like the Giants were right there. And I mean, Washington and the Cowboys bringing back Dak. It seemed like it's the NFC East. It's as really anyone's division. There's so many question marks with Saquon coming back and Dak coming back. And how's Washington going to come back? Are the Eagles going to come back with a vengeance after last year? Who knows? But we know the Giants are at 0-3, and like you said, Saints, Cowboys, Rams, Panthers. The Panthers are sneaky good. Jameis Winston's having a very solid first three games. We'll see how that Giants-Cowboys game can always go either way. The Giants-Rams game, October 17th. I'm not gonna have that on any screen anywhere near me. I don't want to be part of that. I think the Rams are one of the best teams in football right now, especially after that win yesterday against the Bucs. Like you said, I mean, even after that, it's Chiefs, Raiders, Buccaneers. I'm really looking at any lock of a win we have. And then I remembered the New York Giants aren't the New York Giants they used to be. This is, like I said, the worst team in football since the boat picture.
Yes.
Every single one of these games, I see good teams that I don't see. I'm not seeing any teams that I think, oh, the Giants, you know, they can play up to this team or they have a good shot. I'm seeing a lot of teams that are better than us. It goes Saints, Cowboys, Rams, Panthers, Chiefs, Raiders, Buccaneers, Eagles. And I'm not seeing a potential win until Philadelphia on November 28th last.
Yes.
And I mean, it's a tough start for the Giants, but November 28th, I'm calling win number one. And win number one should have come yesterday, but you're not going to win a whole lot of games. Yesterday, the Giants had a 15-play, 73-yard drive, ends in a field goal.
Yeah.
15 plays, you're on the field for over 7.5 minutes, and you come out with 3 points. That's inexcusable.
No, and they also started this game with an 11-play drive, and what do you have to show for that? 6-0. Like, honestly, could have been 10-0, 14-0. So that's the difference in yesterday's game. It wouldn't have been a game if the Giants put him away early. They let Matt Ryan hang around. He isn't going to make mistakes. He found his way to 2 touchdowns, and the Falcons find their way to a win on the last drive. And we'll pivot on here. It gets worse. I don't know how, but it gets worse. Denver turned back the clock, made their defense look like it was 82, and they beat the Jets 26-0.
I want to say the Broncos are a sneaky good team, but I mean, they've beat the Giants, Jets, and Jaguars, who are arguably three of the bottom five teams in football. I'm still so confused about the New York Giants, Brandon. I'm so confused. Part of me says they're a top half of the NFL team.
Yeah.
Part of me says they're a bottom four, bottom five team in the league. But the Jets yesterday, 26-0 loss against Denver. The Broncos now beat the Jets, Giants, Jaguars. Do with that as you will. But the Denver Broncos, first place in the AFC West.
They are. And them and Carolina are right now in that bow for me. I've got his fringe playoff teams, but I think if this continues for another week or two, we're talking about division winners. We're talking about playoff teams here. So we'll see what happens. Zach Wilson struggles again. Nobody's going to freak out. He has a ton of talent. I saw him moving left and making excellent throws on target. I saw him extending plays to his right. This guy's got talent. It's just really about who's around you. So when you think of it here, the Jets do need to look a wee bit better because it's just going to be deflating to do this for another year. It's 2020 all over again. It's just a new face at quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, Zach Wilson yesterday, no touchdowns, 2 picks. I know you love that QBR stat, lad. 19.7 on the QBR line, 160 yards. Tough day for the rookie quarterback being called Mr. Interception. but, I mean, this Denver Broncos team, Let's talk a little bit about the AFC West or the NFC West, whatever it is. The Broncos are in first and the Chiefs are in last right now, lad. What's happening? Is it some kind of weird time matrix? What are we doing?
Yeah, it is a bit of a weird time matrix. I guess it's just the way you start. I remember 2 weeks ago when CBS flashed that stat after week one, Mahomes was 11-0 in his career in the month of September. Suddenly he's 11-2, and that two's not looking too good because if you go out to the AFC West right now, you find there's only a handful of 3-0 teams in the league left. You got the Raiders and Broncos, 3-0. Raiders might be the real deal. They're actually beating good teams. Broncos, we don't know. Is it fool's gold? We'll figure it out. And the Chargers, their one loss was a nail-biter against the Cowboys. So the Chiefs, I'm not sounding the alarm, but still, this division might be a little bit better than we thought it was.
It's so confusing because you have the Raiders beat the Ravens beat the Chiefs,
and
the Chiefs just lost to the Chargers. It's the whole circle. It's such a weird time right now. There's been so many weird wins. The AFC West is just so interesting. But back to the Jets here. I mean, 19.7 QBR yesterday for Zach Wilson, 43 yards of running. The team went about 160 yards of total offense. Not a great day, and maybe even the MetLife curse. It's just even on the road. Maybe the altitude. Maybe blame a little bit on the altitude for Zach Wilson, his first time playing out there. I guess it wouldn't be because he went to BYU, right?
Yeah, so he's seen it before.
Right. So I don't know. The Jets and the Giants are both just struggling heavy. But when your leading running back goes for 24 yards, or your starting QB and your starting running back combined for 184 yards total offense with no touchdowns, not going to be a great sign on the field.
So let's go full circle here before we go to break in 30 seconds. Who's worse? Who's down batter at the moment? The Jets?
Down batter.
Down batter. Who's okay. down in the dirt right now? Jets or Giants?
Ooh, that's a that's a very good question. Between the Jets and the Giants, I'd say the Jets just because, you know, they just got shut out yesterday. The Giants have been walked off on field goals the past 2 weeks. They're in games till the end.
Yes.
The Jets just got demolished by the Broncos yesterday. Zach Wilson threw four picks last week. I'd say the Jets are more down bad.
So if we're talking about the down bad conversation, I'll say this. Who's had a more heartbreaking start to the season? It's the Giants. I'll quote Shakespeare here. Expectations are the root of all heartache. The Jets had no expectations. The Giants, much higher expectations. They're in games. They hold you to the very last moment. But they're still losing. With that being said, though, the Jets are definitely down batter. They had no chance to begin with.
You mean to tell me Jets fans had no expectations for Zach Wilson?
They had expectations for Wilson, but these have not been easy games. Two divisionals and now a the Panthers game, fringe playoff team. They got a divisional against the Patriots, and now they face a good Broncos team. But I guess you're right. There's expectations to score points.
Right. I mean, you got to do something. Granted, we see this with Justin Fields out there in Chicago. Just getting the rookie playing time is so huge. I mean, the results aren't coming immediately. He's three games in through his NFL career. It's wild to count him out already. But Titans, Falcons, Patriots, Bengals coming up soon for the Jets. Titans is, you know, Derrick Henry's always brutal. The Falcons are such a weird football team. That's going to be a 9:30 a.m. kickoff. I'm guessing that's a London game.
Yes, I'm praying that's a London game.
Jets-Falcons, October 10th, 9:30 a.m., NFL Network. That's just going to be a disastrous game. Then the Jets have their bye week. Then they're going to take on the Patriots and the Bengals on Halloween. Maybe win one comes against the Bengals and Joey B. Who knows?
Who knows? Bengals have shown out. Might be second best team in that division so far. So we'll see. What happens there? We are going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk about the Buffalo Bills, the only team holding the flag still in New York. You're listening to Sports Hour on 88.9 WMYO, the Laker Radio Network. Welcome back to 88.9 WMYO, the Laker Radio Network. Sports Hour on a Monday. Brandon Lann and Joey Pulaski. Joey filling in for Aaron Valentino today. We got through the Jets and Giants. We got through the sad stuff. We got through the depression. We got through all that. It was like we were listening to 1-800 by Logic for a few minutes there. And now we're on to some of the pomp and circumstance, which is the Buffalo Bills and the way they have been playing much better recently. So the Bills hand it to a pretty good Washington football team defense. They went 43-21 at, I want to say, what's the stadium now called? Highmark or something?
Highmark, I think,
yeah. I want to say Orchard Park, but I guess not. Bills, Josh Allen get the job done. 43-21, Josh Allen, 84.0 QBR, four touchdowns, 32 of 43, 358 yards. Their run game, they ran it 33 times. They got over 120 yards. They had a touchdown out of Allen on the ground as well. Five touchdown day for the star quarterback. It seems like the Bills are turning and burning again.
Lad, let me tell you, I have plenty of dear friends who are Bills Yankees fans. Yesterday is an unbelievable day to be one of those people. The Bills yesterday, Josh Allen, I mean, the Bills have been winning football games. They're 2-1 now, but Josh Allen's been looking good. Last week, the 35-0 win against Miami, but now his play on the field and the score and the number of points the Bills put up actually reflects his stat line this week, going for 358 yards, four TDs, the 84 QBR. Great day yesterday for Josh Allen. The run game is, you know, still the Bills' run game between Moss and Singletary. Still not sold on the whole running back by committee kind of thing. But what about Cole Beasley and Emmanuel Sanders yesterday? Diggs didn't even get the majority of the work. Beasley goes for 98 yards. Emmanuel Sanders goes for 94 yards. And Stephon, if you're winning football games by 20 points, you're putting up 43 points. And Stephon Diggs, who's a top five receiver in the NFL, is your third leading receiver on the day. That's a very good sign of the depth of your wide receiving core.
For sure. And we talked about, can teams shut down Diggs and the Bills still be successful? Cole Beasley and Sanders both stepped up yesterday. And if you honestly think about it, the Bills' greatest success will be being multiple, being able to run the ball, being able to do read options with Josh Allen in key third down situations. And I hate when I say this, this all just feels like preseason for the Bills. We haven't even started yet. It just keeps going for them. They're just going to try to build and be the best version of themselves as the calendar turns to December and January.
It does. I mean, the Bills are, it's so weird now just calling the Buffalo Bills such a good football team, the Giants, and the Giants a bottom five team. It's like they've just switched spots. And I mean, that's the Josh Allen effect. And then I'm still so big. I've been so big on the move for the Bills for bringing in Stephon Diggs. How Josh Allen's always had the big arm. He just needed a long ball guy. They go in and bring Diggs, who's needed a quarterback for most of his career in Minnesota. I've loved that move ever since they made it. And these Buffalo Bills are looking so great. The Texans, Chiefs, Titans coming up for them. Harder teams than the Washington football team and the Miami Dolphins. But the Bills are looking good right now. They're at 2-1. They're up 27-14 at halftime yesterday. And the defense showed up in that second half, kept Washington to 7 points. The Bills just looked very good yesterday, and they're always going to be, you know, a Super Bowl contender, especially if Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs keep trending downward. Maybe it seems like Josh Allen's career has the chance to be characterized by never being able to get past Patrick Mahomes. If the Chiefs are maybe having a bit of a down year and the Bills keep trending upwards, we'll see. And I know yesterday this is such a big game. Every loss between these top teams is huge for home field advantage in the playoffs.
Yes.
The playoffs are so far away, but the Bills getting the win, the Chiefs getting a loss, and it's almost like how the Yankees, Blue Jays, Red Sox thing's kind of lining up right now. Getting home field advantage, every game is so crucial, especially in a 16-game season or 17-game season, whatever it is now. The Bills with one loss, Chiefs with two. Every loss is crucial. We know these teams are going to be in the playoffs. It's all about who's going to get home field advantage when we get there.
And motivation is a big thing here. A lot of people predicted the Bills 13-4 for their 17 games this year. If the Bills want to have home field advantage, it's going to happen in the next 3 weeks. And that means you're going to beat the Texans. We know that. If you lose to the Texans, we'll have a different discussion. But you go at Kansas City and then at Tennessee for Monday Night Football. And honestly, two primetime games. The Chiefs game at Arrowhead is on Sunday Night Football. You know Al, Chris, and Michelle will be there. And then, you know, Payne and Eli will be on that Titans game the week after. Primetime, people have their eyes on you. I think this put-up-or-shut-up time for the Bills, and I think teams are very intentionally trying to beat Mahomes early this year, because they're sick of it. Look at Lamar. He finally got his breakthrough win. Now can Allen get his breakthrough win against the Chiefs? That's something we got to look out for the next couple weeks.
The Chiefs are 1-3 in their past four games. Go back to the Super Bowl last year. And maybe, who knows? I mean, I thought, I personally, going into last year, I called the Buccaneers winning that Super Bowl. As soon as they got Leonard Fournette, I placed that futures bet. I said the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are winning this year's Super Bowl. They get there, get the job done. But what seems to be even more of a long-lasting effect is maybe the book's kind of out on how to guard, or how to not guard, but neutralize. You know, Kelsey and Tyreek Hill and Mahomes are all going to get theirs, but how to somewhat do a job of neutralizing them. For the first time yesterday that I've seen Patrick Mahomes play, he threw a bad interception. he overthrew, I believe it was Kelsey. Yeah. He overthrew him by about 5-10 yards. It fell right into the safety's hands, and it looked very uncharacteristic. The Chargers went into Kansas City, knock him off. The Chiefs are 1-2 now, but it's so big for the Bills coming up on October 10th and October 18th. Like you said, back-to-back primetime games. Chiefs, Titans, they're going to know how they stand. The Steelers are a great team, great defense. They fell to them. Maybe get a little tune-up, work on what you got to do against the Dolphins, the football team, and the Texans. Now, then you get back to the playoff teams against the Chiefs and the Titans. The Bills just didn't look great week one against the only playoff team they've faced thus far. So it's going to be these are kind of just warm-up games for these bigger competition. And then you're going to get, when they go on the road to Kansas City and Tennessee, those are not only great teams, but also home crowd advantages as well.
And we talk about balance. Josh Allen threw 51 times the last time they played a playoff team, week one against the Steelers. What's that balance out? How have you improved your run game since then? How have you improved play calling and just getting a little bit more crisp? That's something to look out for the Bills the upcoming weeks. But as I said, it's preseason for them at this point. We're just seeing where some of these big dogs stack, some of the steppas out there on the field, as you like to say.
Right. It's always just such a weird thing. We kind of say that it's preseason, and then you see the Chiefs yesterday go lose to the Chargers.
Yeah.
I mean, we're only 3 weeks in. We don't want to overreact too much, even though this is sports media. It's kind of what we have to do.
Yes.
It's such a weird balance, really, for trying to find out who's legit and who's not. It's, you know, the 17-game season. Every game matters for not only making it in the playoffs, finding out who's legitimate or not, but then you start talking home field advantage, and I've said on this show it's so far away, but it's just things you need to consider in a 17-game season.
And week three can bite you. Like, we have this conversation right now about the Bills, Ravens, and Chiefs. What's their pecking order going to be? We know they're playoff teams, blah, blah, blah. This stuff can come back and bite you in week two, week three, week four. So you got to take these games seriously, but you also got to keep developing. Like, tonight, if the Cowboys lose to the Eagles, that might come back to bite them at the end of December. So different levels for different teams, but we got to treat all these games the same. And I guess you're right. We do have the right to overreact.
I'd like to give a quick special shout-out. Mitch Trubisky yesterday, perfect 100 QBR. 1 for 1, 1 yard.
Good for him.
Great work there by Big Mitch. Personally, I'm still not 100% sold on the Buffalo Bills. We know how great Allen and Diggs and the defense is. The one thing that's just stood out to me for the longest time is their run game. They were so, I believe they were bottom three or bottom four last year in yards per carry. And I was saying over the offseason, they got to go out and get a running back. I know some Bills fans are still sold on Zach Moss and Devin Singletary, the little committee, being it. But how many playoff teams do you know of, lad, that don't have a clear-cut starting running back? Doesn't have to be a superstar.
No.
Clear-cut number one.
None. Let's go through them here. Well, I guess the Ravens this year, but they're starting to get that going again. They're starting to figure it out. But they had a guy.
They don't have a clear-cut number one because Dobbins and Edwards are both hurt.
Yes, and I take either of those guys any day as my number ones before the injury. So they're not an example there in Lamar's QB or running back one anyways. Chiefs, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Titans, Derrick Henry. And I guess that's just all the legit teams there. Tampa Bay, I take Ronald Jones or Ronald Jones even on them anymore?
I'm pretty sure he's still there. Him and Fournette are both there.
Yes. So I take either of those guys any day of the week. Saints, Kamara. Giants have three of them, it seems like, before Mostert got hurt this year. Cowboys have Zeke.
Right.
Eagles have Sanders. So you're right. All these teams that are playoff teams have clear-cut number ones. Packers, Aaron Jones. Vikings, Dalvin Cook. So it seems like the Bills are the only playoff team trying to figure this out still.
Yeah, I mean, the only one I can really think of is the Browns with Chubb and Hunt, but those are because they're both so good.
Yes, getting them both Chubb's touches. Probably the best running back in the league some days of the week.
Best running back in the league?
Yes.
You just said that live on air right now.
Yes, live on air. Nick Chubb, probably the best running back in the league.
I don't know about all that, but I mean, even just we'll get into fantasy later, but the top two guys in fantasy between, if you go by the ESPN boards, in McCaffrey and Saquon.
Yep.
I mean, people that just don't really know football too well and say, you know, these guys just both had season-ending injuries last year. Yeah, they'll bounce back perfectly fine. No. I mean, between first off, we see McCaffrey hurt now. Saquon's still got the offensive line struggling in front of him. In fantasy football, people just don't really look down the board at all. They just see the top names that are there. But real quick, talking about the Bills running game, the one guy I said going into this year that they should get, James Conner.
Yeah.
I've said he was the Steelers running back last year, just didn't quite fit in there yet, free agent. I said if the Bills want to be a Super Bowl contender, go out and get James Conner. I'm watching the Bills tear up Washington yesterday. Josh Allen tear him up, but the running game not so much. And then I got the Bills on the side TV, the red zone on the main TV. James Conner goes for 2 touchdowns yesterday. And I'm thinking how badly the Bills could use this guy right now. He's a great guy, easy to root for. But, I mean, I still think the Bills, I don't think they're quite there to the point of hoisting that Lombardi trophy. I still think they just need a running back.
How many times we said the whole offseason, so that would have been our spring semester. How many times we had this conversation? Jets and Giants needed to make big swings. There were certain teams like the Pats that needed to take big swings at what they were doing. The Bills were in that category. Just fine-tune it. I'm not sure if they fine-tuned it enough.
Right. I mean, the Giants and Jets are in one boat, and the Bills are in the other, because the Giants and the Jets are sitting here, oh, we're a quarterback and a star receiver away from winning the Super Bowl. Quarterback's the most important position in sports. Wide receiver's one of the most important positions in football. The Bills don't need a superstar running back. They just need a good guy. Give me a top 15 running back. That's all they need to be a Super Bowl contender. If they go get a top 10 guy somehow, some way, then I'd say they're almost a lock to win the Super Bowl. But Moss and Singletary, I just don't understand what they're doing and not getting a running back either in the draft or in free agency. Josh Allen's still just doing his thing, man. The Bills just keep winning football games, but we'll see how late they can win football games going into January and February.
Yeah, we'll definitely see what happens there, and we're going to get a telling tale on the 10th and 18th of how good they are as well. We'll take our final break of the interior of the show here before we have to flip it over to Gross and Jake at 3:55. When we get back, college football, Monday Night Football, fantasy football, betting, anything you might want and anything that comes to my mind, it will come out. You're listening to the Sports Hour on 88.9 WMYO, the Laker Radio Network. And welcome back to Sports Hour here on WMYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. A little fair trade to come on back. Hey, Joey, I relate to that. Feeling young, but they still treat me like the OG.
Album of the year there, lad.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Donda might have been better, but...
What do you got?
As CLB the album of the year?
Yes, sir.
Donda.
Or you can go wild card.
No, Donda.
I go CLB 1. Did you listen to the new NBA Youngboy album?
No, I did not.
And that's number 2.
Okay.
J. Cole's album 3. Kanye 4.
J. Cole's album I have not listened to. I think I've heard 2 or 3 songs.
It was... Well, you probably know the Lil Baby song.
Yes. So
I don't know what else you got in your playlist on there, but there's no skips on it. Donda's just, it's Kanye West. I mean, it's good music. It just doesn't have the re-listen value for
me.
But I'm going CLB, Sincerely Control. Off-season, Donda, 1, 2, 3, 4.
No. Well, I guess we disagree on that. I got to do some homework now so I can come back at you.
Here. I watched you grade the Donda one, so I'm going to take your... for all of our listeners, I watched Brandon Ladd sit in the office one day, listen to the first 30 seconds of a song, wrote down B+, and just kept it moving. So, I'm telling you, get to that J. Cole album, get to that Youngboy album.
Yeah.
Give me your opinion on it.
So you want me to give each song a minute?
You said a minute?
Yeah, before I start.
I'd say the whole thing.
Okay.
I'd listen to the whole thing.
Okay. Before I get the pen out and
just
start scribbling B-minuses. Because
you got features and you got different verses. You're in here giving songs B-pluses before you even get to the chorus. You're just great. You're great in the intro, lad. It's not an interlude. Give me the whole song. But I mean, no, that Youngboy album was... Personally, I loved it. It said... there were lots of mixed reviews on Twitter. Some people I already saw. He's got his birth name, his stage name, nicknames, whatever. It said those are the Mount Rushmore of rappers. Those are your four, just different versions. But anyways, let's get back to sports here.
I guess we'll dive back into it. We got 3 or so minutes to rifle through some college football here. Let's just recap what we saw this weekend. Oregon hold serve, Georgia hold serve. Big Alabama hold serves. Really, no teams that worry me there that they were facing. Oklahoma had to fight to the bitter end, and Spencer Rattler, Heisman favorites, kind of going south on him. So we'll see what happens there. Iowa hold serve. Penn State hold serve. Arkansas beats Texas A&M. They're the new number 8. Clemson loses in double OT to NC State. It was about time that happened. NC State has been so close for years. Clemson now number 25 in the country. Ohio State holds serve. So we got some interesting things here from this top 10. What are you looking for going into the next week?
I mean, first off, Clemson drops to number 25 for the first time in, I think it was 2017, 2016 maybe. But it's their first 2-loss season since they lost to Syracuse.
Yep.
And eventual champion Alabama.
Yes.
So Clemson, their playoff hopes are done for. They were kind of on edge after the Georgia loss. I mean, there was so much pressure on Georgia and Clemson out of the gate with this 4-team playoff. They said literally going into the season, you have so much turnover. Trevor Lawrence is gone. there's a handful of other players from Clemson, Georgia. You know, you have so all your seniors are gone from last year.
Yes.
The fact that we're literally going into the season, they said the most important college football playoff game with or most intention, biggest intentions was week one, Georgia and Clemson, which still makes no sense to me. I mean, there are so many teams. I think that they just need to find some better way of how you start the season ranking teams. If you're only going to do four playoff teams, there's so many teams that start the on the outside looking in, like your Cincinnati's, your Penn State's, your Notre Dame's. Then the teams that start inside looking out, like Clemson and Georgia. And I mean, Clemson's proven that they're really not that good, but then it just messes up everything, which is, they beat number three, Georgia beat number three Clemson, and then you're looking at it now and they're number 25, and just how much does that matter? But I mean, first off, you had Georgia just murdering Vanderbilt. JT Daniels went five drives, scored on all of them. They pulled him after the first quarter. Oklahoma's a little worrisome, but as our good friend Mike Gross walks in here, was actually at Whiteout. I was just about to say, I think Penn State might slide in that number four spot in the college football playoff.
You think so?
I think they might. Oklahoma now has ground to make up after dropping. They're number six now. Penn State's there. That Iowa defense is really good. But I think you got Penn State, Iowa, Notre Dame, Oklahoma all fighting for it. And Cincinnati's there. I think the Cincinnati-Notre Dame game this upcoming Saturday, loser's done. Winner's got a fight between Penn State, Iowa, and maybe Oklahoma.
You obviously did not rise and unwind with us this morning.
No, you obviously did not rise and unwind.
What does that mean?
Me and Gross have a 9 a.m. radio show now.
Really?
Mondays and Fridays.
9 a.m. I was probably on like my fifth hour of sleep.
Yes.
You guys are in here at 9 a.m.?
We were in here at 8:57 a.m.
Yes. Was today the first installment of this new show?
Yes. It was. We call it a trial run.
So how'd it go? So okay, so you guys give me your college football opinions because I clearly missed
it. Okay, well, Alabama is the best team in the country. That will not change.
So how do you think Georgia overtakes Bama? Do you think Georgia can get that number one spot at all or no?
No.
If Alabama loses and Georgia wins out,
JT Daniels is not the best quarterback in the country.
Five touchdowns and five drives.
JT Daniels is not the best quarterback in the country. They're playing Vanderbilt. They beat him 62-0.
I could have went out there.
My grandma could have done that.
Yes. Right. Okay. So
my dog could have done that.
So you don't think there's any way Georgia bypasses Bama?
No.
Bama loses and Georgia wins out.
Nobody bypasses Bama.
Okay, so
if Bama loses,
right?
Yeah, that's a different discussion. Yeah,
that's a different discussion. Oregon. My only thing with Oregon. They don't have a ton of teams to play in the Pac-12. There's nobody of ranked, there's nobody ranked in the Pac-12.
But they're number three right now.
As high as Oregon. Okay. I understand that, Joey. But Penn State has to play six different ranked teams this season. If they go ahead and beat all six of those ranked teams, potentially ranked teams, because we don't know how Michigan or Michigan State's going to look at the end of the year. We know Ohio State's going to be ranked. We know Iowa's going to be ranked next week. All right, they've already played two. They beat them both. Beat Wisconsin, beat Auburn. They have to play Iowa. They have to play Ohio State. They will both be ranked. Okay, Ohio State will have one loss in their resume, and Iowa will have none when they play next week. Unless Iowa decides to lose to Maryland.
Let's just make the college football playoff eight teams and make this whole thing a lot easier. You like it
I'm
at four?
Not...
I don't get that. I don't understand that line of thinking.
I like it at six.
So we're doing byes?
Top two teams.
Get a bye.
So you're giving Alabama an automatic bye every year?
Yeah.
Just for the name brand?
Not for the name brand, because they're the best team in the country. They earn it.
I'll say this. I think the AP top 25 is the most stupid and irrelevant thing ever. We might as well just send them out there till week eight with no numbers next to their names.
I don't hate that idea. Start them off from scratch.
Yeah, like, honestly, going into week eight, you should find your way to get a number next to your name, and if you have not earned that, why do we put a number next to your name in week three?
The fact that Clemson just walks into the season starting outside looking in, four games later they're sitting here number 25, it kind of just proves how vulnerable the rankings are.
A 94-week top 10 streak for Clemson was broken.
Yes.
A 94-week top 10 streak.
You're going back to what? Is it Sean Watson? Or is it Kelly Bryant?
It's just 2 years ago, but still. It's
I thought you were talking 94 weeks of in-season play.
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
That's a different topic.
Right, that's very different than 94
Kelly Bryant and Sean Watson.
Yeah, exactly. It's Kelly Bryant and Sean Watson. Yeah. But that's not impressive to you?
It's
extremely impressive.
But when you lose, of Aaron's words, football Jesus, right, and Trevor Lawrence, when you lose him, That's a big issue.
Right. Well, I mean, when the new Clemson QB steps in, and you know your shoes to fill are Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence, who are both, you know, NFL starting quarterbacks. It's huge shoes to fill.
One is.
You think Trevor Lawrence shouldn't be a starter? Or?
No. Well, saying he is the starter.
Well, Deshaun Watson is a starting. He's not right now.
Not at the moment. That's all we have to say.
Right. Glad you're hosting the show.
One last thing to do. 1 minute. I'm going to give you that signal in a minute, Joey. Be ready. Be ready. Joey's learning the board tonight.
Oh.
Live on air.
This is my last shadowing hour.
Yeah.
On the horn with Joey P and Brian Redmond starts maybe next week, maybe the week after. If the Yankees are in that wild card game, I'm going next week.
Okay.
So we wouldn't be here next Monday.
Sounds good.
But we'll see how we go.
Gross. We talked about with the spread this morning. We're not touching it with 12-foot sticks. But still, Eagles or Cowboys tonight?
Got your Cowboys tonight.
Yeah. Joey?
Cowboys. I mean, my gambling career is done. I hung up my shoes yesterday.
That's a flat-out lie. That's a flat-out lie.
I hung up my cleats yesterday.
Somebody record it right now. Anybody's listening. That's a flat-out lie.
As soon as I put it in my gambling group chat, my friends from back home, everyone was just calling Cap.
Just because you hung up those cleats doesn't mean you're not going to go and buy another pair.
Yeah, exactly. Come on. You're going to be sending me over-unders on Sunbelt games. Thursday.
I'll look at boards and see what I like just to get an interest in it, but I'm not being putting money.
He's going to send you a Louisiana Tech versus University of Louisiana Monroe game.
Last winter break, if you guys could have been in Albany in my basement with some of my friends from back home, we're sitting down there, we're betting. Who was it?
Whoa.
Appalachian State? And it's just what?
I didn't know you had a whole casino in your basement here.
Kinda, yeah. I mean, if you're down there, we're just watching mid-major basketball, betting 30-point covers in basketball. It's unbelievable.
Well, there you go. I got the Cowboys tonight. Joey, punch it for me.
Book it.
Give me the Cowboys the whole way through.
Book it. Put it in the parlay.